Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Wisdom Chat. I'm your host, Phil Holdsworth of Aurum Gold, and my wonderful guest today is Angeline McLaren, who is a financial planning advisor with, is it Navigation Wealth?
Correct, yes.
Brilliant. Well, welcome, and thank you very much for your time today.
Thank you very much for having me, Phil. I am very excited to be here. So.
Brilliant. I know we've been having a chat already, and it's been a very interesting chat. So hopefully we'll pull some of those things out for our listeners. But Angeline, tell me a little bit about you and the work that you do.
Yeah, so I'm a financial planning advisor, have been for 12 years. Absolutely love my job. You know, it's all about long-term relationships with clients. And what's great about it is I get to, you know, get to know families really well. I'm able to help them plan. I guess effectively what I do is help people make better decisions with their money. So gain confidence with their money, show them how to invest, grow their wealth. You know, I'm all about buying freedom, not stuff. So like the Western world, we're so geared towards buying things, material things. And, you know, if we looked at what we spend on Amazon on a monthly basis, we'd be, you know, you'd dread to add that up. So it's kind of looking at building people's wealth to give them that freedom in the future. You know, we get one life. Let's make the most of it. You know, we might not like to admit it, but having money there, savings, investments, you know, that's what makes the future brighter for everybody. So, you know, if I can help families gain financial confidence, financial freedom, I've done my job. That's basically it.
That's wonderful. And I like your why. You know, your why is because you love your clients, and the fact that you're able to help them build a better financial future. And you mentioned families. And it just really prompted me really to think about the elephant in the room. And that is the rising cost of living and the impact that it's having on families. Now, you must be seeing some things with your clients. I mean, what kind of things have you come across of late? Or what are people saying to you?
Yeah, gosh, this is the whole thing at the minute, isn't it? I mean, to be honest, I'm so sick of hearing this phrase, cost of living crisis. Every time you put the TV on, you listen to the radio podcast, it's like all this scaremongering. And yes, it's reality, but we don't know what the reality is yet, you know. Yeah. So there's these figures being thrown around, and every family is going to be different. Like you and I, Phil, you know, are what we spend on energy. You might not have a mortgage. I have a mortgage. I could be fixed in for 5 years. You know, every family's different. And it's just causing this anxiety across the whole of the UK where we don't really know what we're doing. And it appears that the government don't really know what they're doing either. So it's just a whole, whole thing. For my clients, I guess the main thing that I'm seeing, typically my clients that are coming close to retirement, you know, they're starting to panic. And it's like my job really is to be that guide for my clients in a changing landscape, right? So trying to just block out the noise, like, let's look at your situation. What do we need to do? Yeah, let's forget about what's happening. How do we adapt? And really that for me is just taking every single client individually and seeing what we can do to help.
And that's brilliant. I know in terms of the people I'm working with, the concerns that they have, like you were saying about the energy, rising energy costs, and oftentimes there's concerns or that, you know, in the moment of stress and anxiety, there's an inability to think rationally and logically about things. And it's in those moments the emotions kick in. And because we're also creative beings as human beings, that's where catastrophizing comes from. And when you got supposed learned people leading our nation, giving us information that means absolutely nothing, as you rightly say, to the everyday person in the street, what is an average? It's like there's no averages here because we're all different, as you've alluded to. And you're right, we are different. But giving out this sort of message that doesn't really mean anything to anyone causes in itself stress and anxiety, because people are still left wondering, but what does it actually mean for me? And I thought it was interesting as well, you touched on the retirement side as well. You know, retirement has its own challenges anyway. For many people who the work that they did, they got their value from, and suddenly are not doing that. Yeah. And they're wondering, where's my value? You know, and actually the truth of the matter is we are the value. As individuals, we bring value to what it is we do or to whomever it is we cross paths with. And so therefore we don't get value from our work, but we're led to believe that's where our value often is. And so they're faced with, you know, what is my value now? And at the same time, they're also faced with, am I going to be able to live? Am I going to be able to pay my bills? Am I going to be able to pay the energy bills?
Yeah.
And things like this. And then you've got the other end of the spectrum with the families. Young families, it's the most expensive time. I know that because I've had three daughters and now I've got seven grandkids. You know, I can see rising costs.
That part of society worries me as well, because there are so many families. Like, let's think about it. Typical household, you've got mum, dad, you've got a couple of kids, you've got two salaries coming in most of the time. Basically, we spend what we earn. Yeah. So when I'm doing budget planning with clients, quite often it's like, oh, you know, everything that's coming in is going out, or most of it is. So if you get a sudden rise in costs, it doesn't take a lot before actually there's not enough coming in. And then that's when we've got this whole issue. And my concern, I guess, at the minute is those families that don't have the savings and the cash reserves behind them, it's so important that they've got the right protection in place. Yeah. So like, we're talking about the cost of living crisis, but the first thing that people will do is they look at their direct debits and they go, right, what can I cancel? What do I not need? I've got Netflix on there. I've got Sky. Oh, I've got my life insurance. What's the first thing? Honestly, it sounds strange, but the first thing people do is they cancel their life insurance because they think they're never going to need it. And trust me, if you think the cost of living crisis is bad, if one parent becomes unwell, not able to work, or, you know, worst case scenario, they pass away, trust me, that family is thrown into turmoil, not only emotionally, but financially, if there's not that insurance. So like, when I'm having conversations with those type of families, it's like, look, we need to go through and look what is the priority, you know, and we need to make sure that those type of things aren't cancelled. Same with pension contributions.
Yes.
Like, I was talking to someone the other day and they said, do you know what? I have been thinking, shall I just reduce what I'm paying into my pension? And actually, it does seem like, okay, that is, depending on your situation, maybe that's what you need to do for a short period of time. However, the long-term impact, and that's what I'm focused on with clients, you know, I'm here for life with you. You know, we're planning for the next 10, 20, 30, 40 years. If we make decisions now, you know, rash decisions, that could have a detrimental impact to your long-term future. And this will pass. Like, you know, it will pass, but we need to try and take a step back, breathe, think about what we're doing before we make any kind of rash decisions, really.
That is a very good point. And one of the reasons why I'm saying that is because the fact that we have very little financial education in schools.
Yes.
So, and if you look generationally at the financial education level of people in our nation, there are so many variations. And when you've got pressure like this being brought on individuals and families, and they're having to make some pretty tough choices, if they don't understand the implications of certain things, and they won't do if nobody's told them, you don't know what you don't know, then you are going to make decisions that to you might seem at the time right, But in actual fact, as you rightly said, the long-term implications can be quite devastating in many respects.
Yeah.
And one of the things I talk to the people I work with is the importance of budgeting or building a spending plan. I'll say this, budgeting, the word budget has negative connotations.
Yes.
And if you think, you can ask anybody, in a word, when I say budget, what do you think? And they'll come up, and lots of them are negative words like restrictions and you can't do and you can't have. And so they think of it with a negative mindset. So I said, okay, let's change the narrative. We're talking about a spending plan. We're going to spend it at some point. Might not be now, but we'll spend it at some point. So some of it will be spent now and some of it will be spent at some time in the future. But it's still a spending plan. And so people's mindsets kind of shift more to the positive side. Oh, right. And the reason why I did that was because less than 50% of the working population have any kind of financial plan. And so when you come back to the moment where people have to make these crucial decisions that you were talking about, Angeline, it's no wonder then that they will make what would be to us irrational choices. But in their spending plan, I always say to them, you must have something in there that you love. So take that example you said about, I've got Sky, I've got Netflix. Okay, you might be able to rationalize some of that. You'll still need something because people still need to have a life. But, you know, maybe let's look at reducing it as opposed to getting rid of something that actually is going to have far-reaching implications. That's been my approach anyway with people, but
yeah. I say a similar thing actually. You know, when it's just, if you look, I mean, if you did look through your bank statement and you think, oh my goodness, like I use Amazon as the example because, you know, you see all the Amazon vans, you know, driving around the UK every day. And if you look back on your Amazon history and you go, what have I bought? You know, and you look at these random purchases. Anytime you do come to make a purchase, especially in a time like, regardless of, you know, who you are at the moment, this cost of living crisis is going to have some kind of impact. Yeah, it will affect everybody, but obviously it's going to affect certain people more than others. And when we are now making these decisions to purchase things, I often say to my clients, like, just take a little second, ask yourself a couple of questions. Do I need this? Is it something that I need? Okay, so I had a baby at the start of the year. His baby formula, yes, we need it. Absolutely. There's no questions asked. It's a purchase. Okay, do I love it? And do I love it? Am I going out? You know, am I going to clothes shopping and I'm purchasing something? Do I love it? Is it really going to make me happy? How many times am I going to wear it? Mm. You know, let's look at the cost of something. And you know what? If it was a work suit, and say it cost £200. That's a lot of money to just fork out. However, if that's going to last me 5 years, I'm going to be wearing it at least a couple of days a week. Actually, that's an investment. That's a purchase that, yeah, okay, I can see the value in that. However, if it was like a cheaper suit that I was buying from maybe a website that, you know, might not last 6 months and actually... There are these things that we have to kind of ask ourselves. But if it is something we love, we have to have it. Holidays, we love holidays, you know. There are certain things. If you love it, okay. But if you're buying it and actually you don't need it, or actually how many times am I going to use it? Just think about it before you make the purchase.
Yeah. I always say to people, what about if you see something and you think, oh, I like that and I want to buy it. So there's that spontaneity. I said, what about taking a week to think about it? Say, oh, I've spotted it. I've checked it out. Yes, I like it. But walk away and give yourself a week. It's about giving yourself time to actually begin to think rationally about something rather than the spur of the moment, usually to satisfy a need within you. And sometimes, and this is why I said before, we talked about motivations behind why people do what they do. So if the motivation is, I need to feel good about myself, Why do you need to feel good about yourself? Well, something's happened, or I just feel a bit down, or so I have this need to spend some money because it makes me feel good. And so I said to this one client, I said, what about walking past and giving yourself a week? And then if you still feel the same about it, coming back, and as long as it's within your means, purchasing it. I couldn't possibly do that, she said. And I said, why not? She said, well, it might not be there. So I said to her, I said, what difference will that make to your life? And that got her thinking. And she said, well, it wouldn't. And all of a sudden, reality is now kicking in. And it's what you're saying, isn't it? It's actually, you know, you can really love something and really love something. No, that is perfect. That's exactly what I need. I'm going to wear it lots, or I'm going to use it lots. I mean, I'm terrible for gadgets. My wife will tell you that. And and I'm sure there's a lot of other people out there who are terrible for different things. You know, but I like them. But the question I need to ask myself is, how often am I going to use it? Or how often am I going to wear it, as you've said? And if it's just one of those things to make me feel good in that moment, then it's likely that that's not the best choice for me at that point. And to use that exercise of walking past and giving yourself time to think about it and ask these questions actually potentially puts you in a good place where you make rational choices about your money. And let's be honest, we all need to be rational about our money at the moment. The worst thing we could do is make financial choices out of an emotional impulse.
If you think about not so far back at the start of the pandemic, I mean, the pandemic was the kind of catalyst to quite a lot of things. But the one thing that I certainly noticed was like that first, was it 12 weeks we were put into the lockdown initially? After the first month, there was more money in my bank account before payday than I had seen previously. And it's like, wow, how on earth has that happened? And it's like, because you weren't in Starbucks every few days, you know, you weren't picking up coffees, you weren't meeting friends for lunch, or you weren't going out for dinner, and all that money that you squander, really, you know, yeah, I enjoy it, but, you know, do I really need to have a coffee, you know, every second day or whatever? It's crazy. So, and the other thing that I noticed was like, look at the amount of makeup that I've got. Like, how many lipsticks can one woman have? Like, ridiculous, absolutely ridiculous. When was the last time I used these? The amount of money that I've wasted on things like that. And it took a pandemic to realize that you don't need these things. Like, realistically, we're now at a crisis point. So you've called it a spending plan, which I think is great, Phil. But I think everybody, this is a moment in time where actually let's sit down. Let's stop the panic, like let's stop the worry. The best way we can do it is let's know exactly where we stand as a family, what's the situation. And actually, interestingly, speaking to a mortgage advisor recently, and obviously with what's happened, you know, with lenders pulling all their deals and things like that since last week's announcement, it's a bit crazy. And this particular mortgage advisor was just saying, look, we are, okay, that word again, we're in unprecedented times. And the mortgage advice that we may have given 5 years ago is not necessarily the advice that we'd be giving to families now. So families worrying that, you know, the mortgage payment's going up from £500 to £1,000 or £800, £900. For the next few years, things like, do we extend the mortgage term to make it more effective on a monthly basis for you and reduce it later down the line? You know, are there things that we can do which normally we would not recommend? But we want to ensure that you can, you know, you've still got your house. You can still, like, there are options out there if you talk to people.
And look at
your situation.
That's the point, isn't it? I mean, when people are worried about things, the one thing that they tend to do is not talk to people.
Yes.
Because in our mindset and in our society, there's still that stigma over money. And there's more talking about it on general terms, but when you come right down to a personal level, we still have this inability to talk about it, or even think, I couldn't possibly ask for help. You know, it was interesting. Just, I know I diverged slightly, but I'll come back to your point there about the mortgage. the number of years that people would wait when I worked in the debt advisor industry. We've had people who have waited 3+ years before eventually admitting, I need some help. By then, many of the solutions that perhaps could have been available for them at an early stage are no longer available. And but you're still, you know, working with them and taking them through what may seem like a very long, dark tunnel to a light at the end. And coming back to your point about, so if people do talk, and I always say to them, look, if you're concerned about your mortgage payments, for example, talk to your mortgage provider. Yeah. Find out what are the options, because they all know what the climate is like at the moment. And where, I know it's only a few, there was only one I'd heard of, but I'm sure there's a few who have sort of pulled some of their deals off the table. But the likes of media are great scaremongers, absolutely yeah. scaremongers, and play on people's fears. And I think it's terrible. But I always say to them, talk to your mortgage provider, because they may have options that you can actually engage with that may be right for you. And I like what you've said there about, you know, even the options where you reduce your payments now during this difficult period, but when things ease up, then start to look to increase them again. Have a plan in place to do something like that. So if that is an option, but I'm not saying it is, but if it is an option, then, you know, it's worth actually dialoguing this with the mortgage provider. And I have to encourage people to do that, because people are reluctant. So, for example, speaking to the energy providers, there's big concerns about being able to pay the energy bills. Well, speak to your energy provider. A lot has changed over these last few decades in terms of attitudes towards people who might be struggling somewhat to cover their bills. And there may be options that they can actually bring into the situation that ease that difficulty at that point in time. So,
absolutely. Like, we are here to help. That's why I do this job. It's like, I just want to, like, bringing it back to your point about, we don't get that financial education at school. Yes.
Yeah.
You know, oh my goodness, the amount of decisions we make at 18 years old, by the time we're 30, we could really have shot ourselves massively in the foot, you know, and it takes a lifetime to sort these things out sometimes. So talking to people, I mean, when I'm speaking to mortgage advisors, people typically, like, people want houses, so they will go and seek out a mortgage advisor. You know, they need a mortgage advisor to sort the house out. But people don't necessarily need financial advisors, or they think about a financial advisor and they go, that's going to cost me a fortune, I don't need that.
Yes.
So, like, when I'm talking to mortgage advisors that I work with, it's like, look, you guys are in a really privileged position. You've got people coming to you wanting your services. When you're speaking to them, yes, you're helping them with their immediate need of, you know, sorting the mortgage out, getting their dream home. If you don't mention their pension or potentially investments, if you don't mention that to them at that stage, when is the next time they're going to realize they need a financial advisor? Yeah. And it's going to be when they're 50, 55, 60 years old taking their pension, by which point it's too late.
Yeah. You know, yeah.
I want to be speaking to these clients when they are in their 20s and their 30s and they've got their mortgages, and budgets might be tight, but there are things we can do
yes.
to really ensure that the wealth is built. And if I've got that 20, 30 year time frame, wow, we will change people's lives. But if we don't, and we don't have these conversations, you know, that worry, my goodness, like 3.5 years to you know, actually come and admit that you know you need help, that's 3.5 years of stress pressure that we could relieve a lot sooner. You know, just come and talk to us, we're friendly people. We're here to help.
I think that has to be the message, doesn't it, to our listeners, and that is, if you have concerns, say whatever those concerns are. So if it's concerns about energy, concerns about mortgage, concerns about the future, retirement, as you've alluded to, Angeline, and or anything to do with, like, protection, then talk to your provider, or talk to somebody. Talk to, I would say, very much an independent financial advisor, financial planner like yourself, that people need to do that, that the cost of doing that is not prohibitive for anybody. Anybody can talk to, you know,
we can have a chat and it doesn't cost you anything. Like, let's have a conversation, you know, Zoom, telephone, whatever. There are no, restrictions anymore. Like, we're in a period of time where, okay, it's okay to be scared. Like, I'm scared. Think about what's going on in the world. You know, you've got Ukraine crisis, global food shortages, you know, inflation is through the roof, rising interest rates. We've got the, still got the fallout of Brexit, the pandemic, all this stuff we are hearing, and it's coming from everywhere. It's like, we need to just block out the noise. It's okay to be scared.
Yeah.
But there are things we can do. Like, let's sit down.
So to talk to somebody is key. Sort of do away with the noise that's going on. Give yourself space to think and to calm down, not to make financial decisions out of your emotions, because inevitably you probably make the wrong decision for you. And it's crucial that you make the right decisions that are going to affect your future. And if you can do that earlier and sooner rather than later, that's the message that we're really saying to people, isn't it?
Yeah, and just on that, I mean, I've had a client this year who he's invested in his pension for years, and he's very savvy, knows what's happening, but he's retiring in the next, well, the next year is his hope. Right. But he has seen his pension fund drop quite considerably, like they all have.
Yeah.
You know, and his first thing was, right, there's too much going on right now. Move my money out of the investments into cash. Yeah. Just move it out. And it's having that conversation. Now, we've not moved it. Thankfully, we've not moved it.
Well, especially with the, you know, the value of the pound against the dollar at the moment. I mean, it's the lowest level, is it? $1.02, something like that?
Crazy,
Yeah.
And it's just kind of his initial reaction was, get my money out of the stock market. Let's stop it dropping. But quite often when you look back in history, and this is the thing, it's all about patterns, isn't it? Like, we've been here before. If you look past the last 500, look at the last 500 years, look at the patterns. It's the same things that happen. So, you know, if we look at that, typically the best years in the stock market followed the worst.
Yes.
You know, those clients that make decisions to be jumping in and out, the timing of that, nobody can judge when the best time is. Like, we stay with the process. It's thinking, like, for him, I said, look, you're only 60. We want to be drawing on this pension when you're 90 years old. You know, we've got 30 years. You know, we look back on this and go, what happened in, I remember what happened in 2020, because we'll not forget that. What happened in 2022? This too shall pass, you know, that phrase.
Let's
not make rash decisions. But this particular gentleman, okay, we can still retire, but let's take money from a different source. You know, we've got cash savings.
Let's
take it from there for the time being. Let's leave your pension to recover, because it will. We just need to give it time.
If you think of the interest rates, even as they have slightly risen with the banks. So inflation's running at what, 9.9% at the moment. Okay, dropped slightly from 10.1%. But if you look at the interest rate being paid on your cash savings as opposed to the interest rate, money, while it's sat in the bank, is actually its spending power is diminishing.
Correct.
And people don't see that.
Oh my goodness, I had this conversation last week. A gentleman going, brilliant, I'm being offered 3.5% for a 2-year fixed rate bond. So I'm like, okay, let's just talk about that, you know, and that's a whole conversation. But it's like, effectively, what's happening there? You know, why do you think the bank's offering you 3.5? The bank is making money in the background. What's happening with interest rates? You fix in at 3.5% for the next 2 years.
Yeah.
What's effectively happening there? You know, and it's just, again, comes back to not making rash decisions. He did the right thing, walked away and went, right, Angeline, I'm thinking about this. What are your thoughts? Let's talk about it.
Yeah. That's good that somebody's is doing that. But I just, you know, it's interesting. If somebody's concerned about the future, they're wanting to, I suppose, in their thinking, strengthen their position at their moment. So then you look at the decision making side. Right, okay, it's a risky market. I'll take my money back, you know, and not stopping for a moment and thinking about. I always say to my clients, if you're going to save your money, which is good to do, make it work for you. And in which case, you need somebody like yourself, Angeline, to advise them on how they can make it work for themselves. But make it work. Don't let it just sit in a savings account, or as like you were talking about a moment ago about bonds. But actually, look for things that are going to help your money grow rather than diminishing its spending power. And but they've never thought about that because, again, we go back to what I said earlier on about lack of financial education, biggie in this nation. One sometimes wonders whether that's purposely done because it's easier to control people when you don't understand things. So maybe that's my conspiracy theory, but I look at it and I just think, well, why not? I mean, let me just in finishing, I know we're coming to a close time-wise, but let me just touch on what we were talking about before we came on air, in a sense. And we were talking about the tax cuts, weren't we? And the decisions that Kwesi Kwarteng has made about all these tax breaks. Who does it benefit? You know, and we're looking at these things, and the everyday person in the street, it benefits them very little. But the wealthy benefits a lot. And I was talking about just what I said earlier about the motive that sits behind why somebody does what they do with their money. So if somebody is very fearful about the future and is very security minded, they're going to really hold on to their money. And actually, the more they can get, the better it is. But the more they get, they'll still feel, well, I need more on top of that. So this notion that those who are the wealthy ones will add to the money cycle within our nation, is actually a rather bizarre notion, because at the end of the day, it's not the amount of money, it's the motive that sits behind it. Why do people do what they do? And if they are concerned about the future, they're going to hang on to it. So therefore, it doesn't engage with the money cycle. And you know, that's been one of my kind of concerns with some of the decisions that this government are making at the moment. I might be controversial, but hey, I'm not one for avoiding controversy.
I mean, I had a client just last week talk about this, you know, and like she had said, so she's widowed but has two children, 18, 21, you know, at university. She's got a really good job. She's in a fortunate position. And even she was saying, why are they giving me £400? I don't need this. It's not going to make any difference to me. Like, why are these things not means tested? It's a bit like in the pandemic when we just handed out all this money without actually thinking it through. We gave all this money to businesses. What's happened? Those businesses have become, you know, they've gone insolvent. We can't claim the money back. It's making the situation worse. Like, we need to, again, it comes back to what we've said, Phil. Stop and think about what's actually happening before we say we're going to do these things. Because, you know, there are families out there who really need that £400. They need more than that, you know. But and just that one-off payment, is that going to make a, you know, what difference is that going to make? It in the grand scheme of things, that's not going to be enough to help. And certainly if you're giving that money to people that definitely don't need it, because it's not just, you know, this crisis that we're going through. Yes, it is going to have an impact on everybody, but it's going to affect those on lower incomes far more. You know, when people are talking about, do I not eat so I can afford to feed my child? Like that, those are the people that need the help. Like
Oh, yeah, definitely, yeah.
the government aren't thinking. Yeah, it's very difficult to,
Yeah.
it's a very controversial subject and
It is, but the thing is, it's a subject that needs to be talked about in the nation, because you know, at the end of the day, From a government point of view, these are elected officials. They're elected on behalf of the people. They represent you and I and everybody else, and the best interests of the nations. And I think one of the things that ought to be focused on is building long-term resilience for the nation as a whole. And often I find it's short-term decision-making that's been made. That's not
Absolutely.
really considering the present circumstances of those who, in like you say, those who really need the help and support, and a one-off is never going to do it, full stop. But also at the same time, looking to the future and thinking, what resilience are we building as a nation for the future? I mean, our government only has to look at, for example, likes of Norway, and what did they do when they first started drilling for oil and natural gas? And what did they do with the revenue from that? Yes, it's a very expensive nation to live in, but it's a very wealthy, it's probably more wealthy than we are in a sense, but it's because of the way they've managed it. And I'm not saying they're perfect or they've got it right necessarily, but it's just getting people to stop a moment and say, ask the question, is this decision right, not just for now, but is this going to have positive or negative consequences going forward into the future. So yeah, we can there's a lot we could cover, isn't there, really?
Absolutely, absolutely. And I think the main thing is just there's nothing that we can do. What government are going to do, they're going to do, aren't they? The best thing people
Yes.
can do is come and just talk to us, talk
Exactly,
to
yes.
people, in the industries who can help them make that financial plan. Let's make it personal. These figures that are being thrown about, it makes no, I don't, where are these figures coming from? Who knows? So make it personal to you. Sit down, bite the bullet. Let's look at it. I sorted out pensions for a client about 6 weeks ago, and they had all these pensions, didn't know what he was doing. And once we've sorted it out, honestly, it was so lovely to see. He literally sat back in his chair. You could see his shoulders drop, and he went, "Oh my God, I'm so glad we've sorted that. Like, you have no idea how long I was worrying about that for." And it's like, yes, that's what we want, let's
Yeah,
all
definitely,
hands on.
definitely. Look, Angelina, I know you sort out people's finances, and you do actually build plans that create that resilience for them in the future. I work with people to help them understand their emotional relationship with money, what motivates them to do what they do or make the choices that they make. And I help them make better choices by understanding themselves first and foremost. You help them make better choices by the practicalities of managing their finances and looking at the future. So on that basis, if somebody would like to talk to you, how would they get hold of you?
So a couple of ways you can get hold of me. I do have a Facebook page, a work Facebook page. So it's Angeline McLaren, financial advisor. McLaren spell MAC, the Scottish way. And also on LinkedIn as well. So I'm on LinkedIn. My contact details are on there, mobile, email, and stuff. So yeah, I'd be more than happy to help. Just have conversation. Like, let's just talk about it. That's the only thing.
It's been an absolute pleasure talking to you, Angeline. I know the time's up. If anybody listening to this podcast really is concerned about their finances, you need to talk to somebody like Angeline. If you find yourself in a position where you're making choices that actually at the end of the day are not the best choices for you, or you live with regret, maybe I can assist you with those areas. So, please talk to us. But I hope you found this podcast useful. Angeline, thank you so much for being my guest today. I really appreciate that, and all the best for the future.
Thank you, Phil. Thanks for having me. It's been great.
Wonderful. Thank you very much. Bye bye.
Bye.